If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is Foundations, the radio ministry of Oak Hill Presbyterian Church, Sonora, California. We welcome you to our Sunday morning worship services under the leadership of Pastor David Bush. Stay tuned following today's program for more information about Oak Hill Presbyterian Church. Here now is today's message from Pastor Bush.
Well, as I mentioned, I want to take a break from the study through Matthew to bring a series on the LGBT issues for the month of June. And I'm going to start by looking at some introductory matters in this as we get started. I want to first address why this series. Why now? Why this series? I think perhaps the most recent kind of spark in this was in 2016 on May 31st. Then President Barack Obama made a presidential proclamation declaring that June would be Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. The LGBT community has been celebrating June as a high mark of the year. You might have noticed that Elton John, who helped produce a movie about him called Rocket Man, is being released this week, championing his lifestyle. Remember, Elton John was one who had said to Parade magazine that Jesus Christ was a super intelligent gay man who understood human problems. There is a move for June to be the high mark of the year for this community. And so I want to start by explaining something of what motivates me to bring this series now to you all and to the world. The first would be this, that I believe the LGBT issues are something that impact us all. Now, I don't believe there's anybody in this room who does not have a family member, does not know somebody who practices one or more of these activities. I personally have an aunt who is married to her lesbian lover in San Francisco. I have a homosexual cousin. I have had friends in the past who have been entangled in these various lifestyles, as we say. I know several people in this church who have friends, family members, who are entangled in these very confusing times and practices. I believe this is an issue that impacts all of us as well, because the legislation that is being implemented has an impact upon every single one of us, whether it be our children having to use transgender bathrooms and being exposed to people that they're uncomfortable around, perhaps being in a place of danger. We have pastors that are obligated to perform marriages contrary to their conscience-held positions. We have parents that are no longer able to opt out of this agenda as it is taught, even in the grammar schools, that there are teachings that are mandatory, and there are no opt-out clauses for families, that the homosexual agenda has become a huge movement, that we can no longer consider this an isolated thing. That's first of all, it impacts all of us. Second, I want to give to the LGBT community hope and an understanding of sincere love. The glorious gospel message that Jesus Christ saves sinners is a message that I hope the LGBT community can understand more fully. I also want them to understand that love is not necessarily simply the affirmation of one's sincerely held beliefs or chosen ways. If I had a child that sincerely wanted to count semi-trucks coming down the highway and wanted to do it from a position of sitting in the middle of the road, well, he'd jotted down how many semis were coming down the road. Of course, love would demand that I get involved, and I say, no, you can't do this. There's a better way. And that if you can understand love from that perspective, I hope the homosexual community, the LGBT community, can understand how we as Christians are bringing a message of love and of hope. And that they would see that the gay lifestyle, so-called, is a pathetic substitute for the Christian lifestyle. Thirdly, I want to establish a record for future generations, one for the LGBT community to know why we must take the stand that we do and to hopefully present an irrefutable case for our position. And two, I want a record for the Christian community to be armed with sound principles for dealing with sensitive issues. And I would ask both sides in this debate to listen to the whole case. I have 7 messages. I hope all 7 will be listened to by the LGBT community. I believe I have listened to their cases, their arguments, their exegesis or attempt at such an exegesis. I believe I can reproduce those and attend to. And I hope that they can do the same of my arguments and give a sound refutation of them if they are wanting. The fourth reason is that I believe I bear something of a responsibility of a watchman. Ezekiel 33, we read these words, starting in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, If I bring a sword upon a land and the people of the land, take one man from among them and make him their watchman. And he sees the sword coming upon the land and he blows on the trumpet and he warns the people. Then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood will be upon himself. But had he take warning, he would deliver his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity. His blood I will require of the watchman's hand. And so I stand in that place of the watchman today, I believe, that will give an account for the blood of those that I do not give a sober warning that the sword is coming to the land. And so I believe that I have something of that responsibility. I want to warn the LGBT community, as well as us as Christians, that God's judgment sword is coming upon this land. If history is any indicator, we're in for destruction. If God's word is a reliable source, we are in for destruction. And I remind you of a twofold obligation that I have as a preacher that Titus 1, 7 to 9 tells us about the qualifications of an elder or a pastor, where he says that the elder or pastor must be holding fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort with sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. And we remember Paul's word to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5, verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. This, I believe, is an obligation that I have. And then fifthly, I believe that we must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It will not do in this debate to simply cherry-pick texts of Scripture. When the LGBT community says, judge not lest you be judged, they want to cite the word of God as an authority and then ignore the rest of what Scripture says. But if we are to live by the word of God, judge not lest you be judged, then we must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we must look at the whole of Scripture. And Scripture has some scary things to say. not least of which is Proverbs 14:12, and then repeated again in 16, verse 25. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. In this debate, someone is inescapably wrong. If the LGBT community's arguments are right, then mine are wrong. And if mine are right, then theirs are wrong, because I believe they are diametrically opposed. We cannot have it both ways. And so in this series, as I speak of the LGBT community, you know I'm speaking of those, but when I say LGBT to the Christian church, I want you to understand that LGBT stands for Let God Be True. Romans 3, 1 through 4 says this. What advantage has the Jew? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. May my position be justified by a thus saith the Lord, and may these arguments prevail when I am being judged. And so this is something of my motive in this series. And the second main point on your outline there would be this. How did we get here? And here, if you'll let me sort of scan the history of how we got here. How did we come to the place in America where we were once proudly and relatively consistent with the very motto, one nation under God? How did we become a nation that has made legal same-sex marriage, that now has a presidential candidate in the Democratic Party that is openly homosexual, where many liberal and mainline denominations have changed centuries-old convictions on these issues and are now ordaining clergy members who are practicing homosexuals, when we've dedicated an entire month of the year to a particular group that practice lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender practices. I believe we have opened Pandora's box. If the grounds upon which this community is making their case, there are no breaks for calling something wicked as long as it is sincerely believed and held. We will have to add to the LGBT. We've already added the Q for those who are questioning, but we will soon have to add a P for the pedophiles, an N for the necrophiles, an S for the swingers, or the P for the polyamorous. We may need to add an R for the rapists, and a B for those who engage in bestiality. There are no breaks upon what defines where this must stop, because the arguments can be equally argued under any one of those categories. To say that June has been a significant month for the LGBT community would be an understatement. Their story starts in the Stonewall riots, which were back in 1969, when on June 28 of 1969, police raided a bar in Manhattan, New York, by the name of the Stonewall Inn. This was a place that had been rumored to have homosexual activity going on. As the police came in, riots broke out. This motivated the homosexual community. And from that time, the homosexual agenda has moved into a more aggressive movement every year, demanding more and more of our traditional way of America to be eroded, demanding to be allowed in city parades, screaming intolerance, presenting themselves as victims of discrimination, And the cry went out, "Come out of the closet," to all who were struggling with homosexual tendencies. Queer Nation made popular the phrase, "We are here, we are queer, get used to it." They began to file lawsuits, sought out political office in order to make key judicial, affect the legislation and occupy key judicial roles. They began to publish books and attack stereotypes, infiltrating the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, trying to get openly gay leaders and putting our youth in vulnerable positions. Supreme Court case after Supreme Court case legislated the Christian ethics that formerly governed our land out of the ring. On June 11th, 1999, Bill Clinton, that paragon of virtue, declared June to be officially recognized as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. A year earlier, a case, Lawrence v. Texas, was filed by John Geddes Lawrence Jr., a gay man, 55 years old. A Wikipedia article writes this about John Geddes Lawrence Jr. A gay 55-year-old medical technologist was hosting two gay acquaintances, Tyrone Garner, age 31, and Robert Eubanks, 40, at his apartment in northeast Harris County, Texas. Lawrence and Eubanks had been friends for more than 20 years. Garner and Eubanks had a tempestuous on-again, off-again romantic relationship since 1990. Lacking transportation home, the couple were preparing to spend the night. Eubanks, who had been drinking heavily, left to purchase a soda from a nearby vending machine. Apparently outraged that Lawrence had been flirting with Garner, he called police and reported, quote, "a black man was going crazy with a gun," end quote, at Lawrence's apartment. The police arrived, they caught the men in the lewd act, and arrested them. In that case, Lawrence sued on the grounds that sodomy in the home was a private act and ought not to fall under the sodomy laws that were then on the books. And on June 26, 2003, the Supreme Court released its 6-3 decision, striking down the Texas statute. Five justices held that it violated due process guarantees, and a sixth, Sandra J. O'Connor, held that it violated equal protection guarantees. The five-member majority opinion overruled the Bowers v. Hardwick case, which upheld sodomite laws at that time. And then it, by that action, implicitly invalidated similar sodomy laws in 13 other states. In Windsor v. United States, Edith Windsor and Thea Spire were two lesbians who were living in New York. They had been married in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in 2007. In 2008, they moved to New York. They pressed New York to recognize their marriage. Following a court decision, they did get that recognized. Spire died a year later at 77 and left her entire estate to Windsor. Windsor sought to claim the federal estate tax exemption for surviving spouses. Unfortunately, the DOMA Act, which is the Defense of Marriage Act, Section 3, only provided that for spouses, and spouses were defined as one of the opposite sex. On June 26, 2013, the Supreme Court issued its 5-4 decision declaring Section 3 of DOMA to be unconstitutional, quote, "as a deprivation of the liberty of the person protected by the Fifth Amendment." On the same day, on a separate 5-4 decision, June 26, 2013, Hollinworth v. Perry, which was related to California's constitutional amendment initiative that was barring same-sex marriage. This decision effectively allowed same-sex marriages to continue in California, to resume after the court ruled that the proponents of the initiative lacked Article 3 standing to appeal in federal court. This court basically ruled against what liberal Californians voted in Prop 8 to keep marriage between a man and a woman. On June 26, 2015, Do you think June 26th is significant here? The U.S. Supreme Court issued its 5-4 ruling in Obergefell v. Hodges. The lead plaintiff in that case was Jim Obergefell, who had challenged Ohio's ban on same-sex marriage. He filed the lawsuit because he could not put his name on his partner, John Arthur's, death certificate. Ohio would not recognize their marriage, which took place in Maryland. And then a year later, President Barack Obama issued his now famous presidential proclamation that June is to be Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. I want to read that proclamation if I can get through it. Pardon me for going fast, but you ought to know the text of this. Since our founding, America has advanced on an unending path toward becoming a more perfect union. This journey led by forward-thinking individuals who have set their sights on reaching for a brighter tomorrow has never been easy or smooth. The fight for dignity and equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people is reflected in the tireless dedication of advocates and allies to strive to forge a more inclusive society. They have spurred sweeping progress by changing hearts and minds and by demanding equal treatment under our laws, from our courts, and in our politics. This month, we recognize all they have done to bring us to this point and to recommit to bending the arc of our nation toward justice. Last year's landmark Supreme Court decision guaranteeing marriage equality in all 50 states was a historic victory for LGBT Americans, ensuring dignity for same-sex couples and greater equality across state lines. For every partnership that was not previously recognized under law, and for every American who was denied their basic civil rights. This monumental ruling instilled newfound hope, affirming the belief that we are all more free when we are treated as equals. LGBT individuals deserve to know their country stands beside them. That is why my administration is striving to better understand the needs of LGBT adults and provide affordable, welcoming, and supportive housing to aging LGBT Americans. It is also why we oppose subjecting minors to harmful practice of conversion therapy. I'll just interject here my own thoughts for a moment. Conversion therapy is where Christians are trying to help struggling LGBT folks to get out, to repent of that lifestyle, and to convert to what we would say is a healthy lifestyle. They're opposed to that. I continue. And why we are continuing to promote equality and foster safe and supportive learning environments for all students. We remain committed to addressing health disparities in the LGBT community. Gay and bisexual men and transgender women of color are at particularly high risk for HIV, and we have worked to strengthen our national HIV/AIDS strategy to reduce new infections, increase access to care, and improve health outcomes for people living with HIV. Despite the extraordinary progress of the past few years, LGBT Americans still face discrimination simply for being who they are. I signed an executive order in 2014 that prohibits discrimination against federal employees and contractors on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. I urge the Congress to enact legislation that builds upon the progress we have made, because no one should live in fear of losing their job simply because of who they are or who they love. And our commitment to combating discrimination against the LGBT community does not stop at our borders. Advancing the fair treatment of all people has long been a cornerstone of American diplomacy, and we have made defending and promoting the human rights of LGBT individuals a priority in our engagement across the globe. In line with America's commitment to the notion that all people should be treated fairly and with respect, champions of this cause at home and abroad are upholding the simple truth that LGBT rights are human rights. There remains much work to do to extend the promise of our country to every American. But because of the acts of courage of the millions who came out and spoke out to demand justice and of those who quietly toiled and push for progress. Our nation has made great strides in recognizing that these brave individuals long knew to be true in their hearts, that love is love, and that no person should be judged by anything but the content of their character. During lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Pride Month, as Americans wave their flags of pride high and march boldly forward in parades and demonstrations, let us celebrate how far we have come and reaffirm our steadfast belief in the equality, in the equal dignity of all Americans. Now, therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim June 2016 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. I call upon all the people of the United States to eliminate prejudice everywhere it exists and to celebrate great diversity of the American people. In witness of, I have hereto set my hand this 31st day of May, in the year of our Lord, 2016, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 240th. And there it ends. That's the whole proclamation. In this series, I want to celebrate this great diversity of all Americans that Barack Obama wants. Because I trust by the end of this series, you will see that I have a view that is radically diverse from that of Barack Obama. I am thankful that he is in print, that all Americans, he's calling upon us all to eliminate prejudice everywhere it exists. I'm thankful because I trust that I am included in all Americans. And therefore, prejudice against me and my views is something that he intends to protect. Or at least the text would indicate that. Of course, we realize that reality is a far cry from what is in print. I'm thankful that he believes that no person should be judged on anything except the content of their character. But I think he has grossly misunderstood that. That we are to be judged by the Word of God. He has reaffirmed his steadfast belief in the equal dignity of all Americans. And so I believe I can at least preach boldly as a man of God, bound by the Holy Scriptures, that I will not be judged as a bigot, narrow-minded, accused of hate speech, will not be considered old and outdated, or threatened by lawsuits or potentially death. Because he wants equality for all Americans. And so that's how we got here. And will we fight this fight? Will we stand for the historic faith and the position that the church has stood on the issues of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender issues? And I want to put it down in record, what I believe the Word of God has to say on those matters. May God give his grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would mercifully grant us your forgiving mercies. Open the eyes of the blind and break a hardened hearts against that are steeled against you. Lord, we want to win the LGBT community to Christ. And so use these words like the stern words of a father to an erring child. May they hear these words and be improved in their life. And may all of eternity be a sweet reminder of the great decision that was made in history to bow the knee to King Jesus. Be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Foundations, the radio ministry of Oak Hill Presbyterian Church. Our church is located at the corner of Mono Way, Highway 108, and Peaceful Valley Road in East Sonora, California. The church with the crosses. Our weekly worship service begins at 9:45 a.m. We would be delighted to have you join us as we worship Almighty God, explore His Word, and fellowship in Christian love. If you would like a copy of today's message or more information about Oak Hill, please visit our website at oakhillopc.org.